The greatest superhero comic or show in the universe, Invincible, has finally wrapped up its second season after an incredibly long wait. I reviewed part one. Now we're done with part two, so let's review that. Following the event of the first half of season two, where towards the end of it, we saw Mark on Thraxon with his father, and following the Viltrumites' attack and them taking Nolan captive, Mark returns to Earth, but with a newfound responsibility and so much to juggle, including a world that has gravely missed him. Hey everyone, welcome back to Movie Morning, and part two of Invincible Season 2 wrapped up yesterday on Amazon Prime Video. I'm not going to go over all my thoughts about this show again, but I will quickly recap. This is one of my absolute favorite shows on TV, probably my absolute favorite show on TV over the last couple of years. I loved season one. It blew me away. It got me into reading the comic. I think I read like the first 50 issues or whatever, how much the first compendium collected in like a week. And I don't usually read that much in a week, but I loved it. And since then, I haven't read quite as much, but I am starting to pick it back up. But to be honest, this show got a lot closer to where I'm at reading the comic than I expected within just a season. Now, admittedly, it has been 3 years, and we probably should have gotten at least two seasons in between, or at least one season in between the time we've waited. But, and I would have probably been expecting, if you asked me by 2024 which season you'd be talking about, I probably would have told you I would be reviewing the end of season three. But no, we're still at season two, and I've loved this show. I thought part one of season two was even better than season one, and I was really curious to see whether part two was going to live up to that. And I was very curious to see, in particular, where we were going to end off season two with, because I knew there wasn't quite as big and as significant of a storyline to have in this back half, as much of a through line as season one had when it came to the brewing conflict between Mark and Nolan, and when that was going to be revealed to Mark, how long that would take, what would his reaction be. In this season, there wasn't quite as clear of a through line, and I was so curious where they were going to end off and tease going into season three. And what I predicted, I believe back in part one, I got quite a bit of that right. And the end scene of the season in particular, I was thinking what it was going to be the day before the finale dropped, and I got the exact scene right, which I was very happy about. And I'll get into that towards the end of this. But let's get started and start reviewing Invincible Season 2, Part 2. And at the end, I will give a summation of all my thoughts on the entirety of Season 2, as well as a rating before we head off. And Invincible, by the way, before we get into it, I almost forgot to mention, full spoiler warning, I'm going to be going through everything that happens in this season. So if you still haven't watched the show, get on it. And once you're done, you want to hear someone's opinion, someone who's already experienced a lot of this in the comic and how it compares, come back and listen to my review. Thank you very much. And starting right off, this season does what all of the best superhero stories have to eventually grapple, and I would argue does it better than any comic book story and superhero story I've seen in a couple of years. And that is, have Mark Grayson be at a point in his life where he just cannot balance everything going on. When it comes to a character like Batman, inevitably because he is so focused on his absolutely insane crusade, he doesn't quite have enough time to do a lot of the other things that a lot of people, normal people, will do in their lives. But he's someone who accepts that and doesn't quite have to go through all the trouble of balancing it. But that's what people love so much about Spider-Man, is that he is so relatable in that regard. Mark Grayson, I would argue, out of any character in the history of comics, is probably most closely related to Spider-Man in terms of how similar they are. And Invincible does what all of the best Spider-Man stories do, but none of the more recent ones have, and that is show him genuinely struggling to balance every part of his life and bring the story to a point where he just... This season really does bring him to his breaking point in the finale. And it's because so much is going on, and I think every part of his story is so compelling. I'm going to go through each one right here. So first up, following the event on Thraxon, him coming back to Earth, clearly the world was not in the best place. I mean, the Guardians were struggling to keep hold of everything. There were so many near-world-ending disasters that we just skipped over. And Invincible as a hero is more needed than ever, even though he thought there's so many other heroes out there, but he's clearly the most powerful on Earth. And as soon as he gets back, he's thrown right back into space. And that's the kind of tension building that Robert Kirkman was so good at doing in the comic and always keeping you on your toes, even though this show has so many characters you love. It's so intense, and it puts Mark through the absolute ringer, and you know that notice that right away. And we go and we see the Sequids, and there's almost a two-parter, episodes 5 to 6, where we get so many moments that are absolutely painful to sit through just because they're so brutal. But also, like, a lot of the characters we love are just going through so much that's changing in their lives. And almost more importantly than all of that, Mark's run-in with the Viltrumites on Thraxin showed him that there is this other threat also coming. So in this season, he always has on his mind that the Viltrumites are eventually going to show up. But they could show up at any moment. And he met General Krieg as he was taking his dad away at the end of part one. And because of that, he also has that at the back of his mind. But then King Lizard and the Lizard League attack the Guardians of the Globe. And particularly, well, not attack the Guardians of the Globe. They attack this nuclear base right as Mark, Adam, Eve, Rudy, Immortal, and arguably the most powerful heroes on the planet go off into space to fight the Sequid. So episodes 5 and 6 really were the peak of where the stakes of the planet were really in danger. And we even get by episode 7 the arrival of Anissa, one of the most significant and controversial aspects of the comics, being set up right from episode 7. And that is a super intense scene where she shows up. But in terms of even Invincible as a superhero, there are so many villains he has to face off against. Not even talking about yet Angstrom Levy in the finale, that test, again, his powers to its absolute limit, even though he has the Guardians of the Globe backing him up for a lot of it. And I think that's what's so great about this show. And this show shows more than anything that even if you have a character so powerful, like Superman, you can still tell interesting stories with them and still have villains that can outmatch them if you just run the character down enough and you make the audience really, really care about them. And this show 100% does that. And Mark and Debbie also have a new responsibility with Oliver, who is Nolan's son from Thraxin. And I loved how they slowly showed Debbie kind of getting more and more attached to Oliver through each of the scenes, because there's not actually much of him in this season. He will become a lot more significant. He will have his own superhero role to play. But in the little scenes we got of him and Debbie, you can just slowly see her getting attached to him to the point where she was very picky when it comes to picking who was going to be, you know, his teacher. And she eventually goes with April, like we have in the original source material. But I just love the way they were building that. Even then, Debbie, coming off of season 2, part 1, where I felt like she was almost the scene stealer in that, where she had so much to go through because Nolan had been lying to her for basically 20 years. She doesn't get quite as much of the limelight as in season 2, part 1, but it felt like she had almost already completed her arc. And Oliver was the last thing that she really could have that could, you know, have her remember Nolan. Because as far as, you know, she's never going to see him again, but she also has this, you know, has this hate for him because of everything that he put her through and what happened at the end of season 1. But at the same time, she almost appreciates having this last remnant of him with Oliver and a kid that she can now raise. And that's such an interesting dynamic, and I hope we get more of that in season 3. And we, of course, have Mark's relationship with Amber, and I'll take the time to talk about that here. I feel like this storyline was best handled in these set of episodes than the rest of the season. And I feel like everything they've done between Mark and Amber has been significantly better in season 2. Because in season 1, Amber was intentionally very, very annoying. She didn't really appreciate Mark. And you can tell that she sort of had a clue what was going on with him, but definitely tried to be naive. And she was just not a likable character. Here and in the entirety of season 2 so far, they've made her a lot more likable, but even so, a lot more relatable. And you can slowly start to understand why she's having such a tough time with Mark. And I feel like by the end of this season, their breakup, and something that I think everybody watching the show knew was coming, was handled a lot more maturely than I was expecting. And it felt emotionally right and satisfying, even though it's heartbreaking for these two characters. And I think I think they handled that part really excellently. And then we have Mark failing college. We don't get too much of William in this, although we do get a couple of scenes with Rick, and I think we'll see more of him down the line. And Mark is, of course, failing college because he's skipped, like, months and months off on Thraxin. And as soon as he's back, he's put back into space. that eventually leads to the emotional payoff in the finale of the season where he decides to completely give up college. And I think that that's something that was coming. I don't remember that scene specifically from reading like the first 50 issues or so. So I don't know if we actually ever got to see that moment in the comic book. I do remember that the college aspect is largely ignored in the original story. And I feel like when you have a show, it's so much more noticeable because of the fact that you have more time. You're not dealing with 20-page segments. We have 50-minute full television-length episodes. So I really appreciate that the show doesn't ignore that. There's also a few characters who I want to shout out who get a big, big step up in terms of their roles from season one, even the first half of season two. In particular, Rex Splode, who, again, in season one, intentionally was a very annoying character. He really gets to shine in the second half of season two, particularly episodes 5 and 6, and even the beginning of episode 7, where he is, like Mark, put through the absolute ringer in this fight with the Lizard League, where he's the only one who's able to stand up to them and pretty much get to the end of the fight and just about make it out with, like, literally, like, just a couple of limbs hanging, but already, like, you know, his hands pretty much, I believe it was his left hand that was completely torn off, and it was just such a brutal fight scene. But the character himself, you can really start to see the early works of the pieces where he's going to be maturing from. You can kind of see by episode 7 when he's actually talking to Mark, not sarcastically, but legitimately seriously, actually curious about how his relationship's going. Again, I think I personally do know where Rex's fate in the show lies, and I'm really curious to see how long we're going to take to get there in the show. But I feel like until then, there's so much to do with his character, and I think it can be a really great friendship that he has with Mark. Again, I haven't read far enough into the original story to know how much that actually develops, but I do think there is the initial setup to that at the very least. Now, we also get more scenes with Mark Hamill's art, who's one of my favorite characters of the Invincible Universe because of how down-to-earth he is, and even then how much of a friend he was to Nolan, despite Nolan pretty much completely lying to him for 20 years and him still missing him. Again, it's such an interesting kind of love-hate relationship he has now with him, kind of like Debbie, but from a very different, from a friend perspective. And I like seeing a couple moments with him. And of course, Mark, from his dad telling him that to read his books, art's the first person he goes to, and that makes sense. Donald, who is Cecil's assistant or whatever, works with him at the government agency, gets a couple of more moments here. We finally get the reveal of him being an android, and there isn't much there, but I don't feel like we've quite seen the end of that. I'm assuming we are going to go through a few more cycles of him dying off throughout this show. And I think there are also some all-time incredible action scenes when it comes to the back half of this season. In particular, Rex versus the Lizard League was such a brutal, such an emotionally draining fight with what happened to Duplicate in particular, although she does come back towards the end of this season. But even how much Rex is able to stand up, and I thought it was so awesome. The fight with the Sequids and the way that the characters really started to actually get worn out. And even with all of them, they're immortal and invincible. Even they still struggled. It was such an intense fight scene. And Mark versus Angstrom Levy in so many ways is incredible. But I will get into that more as I talk about the finale at the back end of this review. But even as a comic adaptation, a lot of these fight scenes are awesome on the page. And I think are even more fun to watch or, I guess, read in the show. And certain moments are pulled straight from the comic. Like, there's a joke at a Comic-Con which was so good and so well animated that's done in the comic book as well, but it's changed for the medium, and I love the way they adapted that. Like, the fight between Mark and Angstrom Levy is very similar to the original source material, but certain moments, because of who they include, and I'll get into that again in a little bit, are changed. Now, Anissa's initial arrival and how she shows up and where Mark is in terms of him being with Amber, that's an added scene, and it's a really great, and again, such an intense moment. And there are also certain plot lines like Mark and Eve's relationship that are slowly building, that the way their placement within other storylines in the season, like, again, Mark and, you know, Angstrom Levy coming back, or just stuff with Amber that they don't really quite do, like Mark and Amber going to Africa where Eve's staying. There are certain moments that, again, aren't done in the show, but you can kind of start to see them laying the groundwork for a lot of it. And I've been very curious by the way Robert Kirkman has moved certain plot lines around. Like, for example, the stuff with the Mahler twins and Rex was moved way earlier on into the story in season one. And I think him being the original creator and the person basically the main writer of this show, he knows what's best for the adaptation. I think you can really feel that. And even as a season two, there is so much setup, but all of it is so interesting. All the budding storylines that are slowly starting to pop up are so interesting that with the amount of setup there is, you're still so intrigued. Like, we finally get General Krieg, and who's voiced by Clancy Brown, who has one of the greatest voices in all of Hollywood. And in this episode, I mean, not in this episode, in this season, or in this part of a season, every scene with him just has so much gravitas because, and that's exactly what you're supposed to feel off that character and what he's planning with the Viltrumites and how Nolan's execution is being built up. And at the same time, you finally get Alan and the Coalition of Planets and the payoff to what happened with the character that Optimus Prime is voicing. I'm sorry, I don't remember the person's voice, his person's name right now, but you all know who I'm talking about, and what's going on with the Coalition of Planets. And there's so much setup going into season three, but I feel like they did such a great job of balancing that with an emotional payoff to this season as well. Because I feel like this season has been more about what Mark Grayson is going through than it is about setting up this big villain to have him pay off. Like, I feel like the first season found a better balance of that. Here, it's leaning much more towards what the character is going through, not so much what's the big evil villain's master plan. And I think that has its benefits and its drawbacks, and I'll get into that a bit later. But the biggest benefit is that by the end and the finale, because everything feels so intense and so emotionally powerful, it leaves you on a really high note. And speaking on that finale, and now getting into the finale, what an incredible, intense, and just all-around insane final episode for this set of episodes, but even then, as for the season as a whole. Now, again, it's an extremely intense episode. Sterling K. Brown, again, is such just a voice that is so distinct, and as soon as you start talking, you know it's him, but I never imagined Sterling K. Brown as Angstrom Levy, but as soon as he started talking, I was like, yep. And I was really curious to see how he would come off as the villain, and I think he really does work very well. This was a brutal, emotional final episode that took Mark to, again, his absolute limits. And I would argue it's pretty much the furthest we're going to get to see Mark push to for at least until the end of season three, although I could be wrong because I think I have a pretty good idea of where season three and that will end. But when I found out that the Angstrom-Levy fight would be the end of season two, I thought it was a really weird decision, but at the same time, I knew that they would struggle to find a big event to end season two on. But I think what worked here was, again, there was so much setup for next season, but still a lot of emotional payoff. Like, we get Eve and her, you can tell the first hints of his relationship with Mark, and when Mark saw the future Eve say to him, and he's obviously taking that into consideration, he chooses to leave college. His growing dark side that he wants to control. That moment where he says, I thought you were stronger, and he kills Angstrom Levy is one of the darkest moments I've ever seen for a hero in a comic book show or a movie or anything. And I knew that it would be a big point of contention, and I feel like the show does a much better job of making a big deal out of it than the comic did. And I think, again, it should be a big moment because Mark's biggest fear is becoming his father. And this season is so much about that. At the end of the season, even though Mark is the closest to his dad he's ever been, I love that his motto going into next season is he's going to learn to control it. But at the same time, he can't let that stop him from getting any stronger because the world needs him more than ever. And it's going to be such a big struggle, and I can't wait. And there's so much emotional payoff for this season. Mark's, again, fear of becoming his dad. Debbie trying to get over Omni-Man, and Mark and Amber as well, and Immortal and the Guardians. We get Duplicate returning, Rudy and Monster Girl have their moment. And emotionally, it was such a wrecking and really draining finale to watch. And while I wouldn't say it was quite on the level of season one's finale in the sense that all of the season was leading into this and its payoff for everything, season two's finale is more of like an intermediary finale in terms of not quite as significant, But Mark arguably is pushed to an even greater extent than by Omni-Man because of how Angstrom Levy chooses to fight him, which is send him through all these different universes. And we even get cameos from Spider-Man and Batman, although not directly. With Spider-Man, we get a character named Agent Spider, and just like I knew as soon as I heard his voice, he was voiced by Josh Keaton, who was the voice of Spider-Man in The Spectacular Spider-Man. I think we heard he was going to be in this show, and a lot of people were speculating he was actually going to voice Spider-Man. I knew Marvel wasn't going to let that happen, but I was very excited to see that at least it was Agent Spider, and at least a clearly someone who's meant to be a stand-in for Spider-Man, and even the stand-in for Doc Ock, and I thought it was a really fun scene. And we get a moment where I genuinely, the show actually convinced me that we were actually going to see Batman when Mark says something like, so you're a guy who dresses like a bat, and your name is, don't you think that's kind of lazy? And I think it's such a great way to dance around not showing Batman, but through his cape, and clearly tell that was him. So including my two favorite comic book characters into my favorite comic book show on TV, such a great combination, even if they weren't directly included. I feel like that's, and we even go back to the prehistoric ages, a finale that was able to balance going to these fun locations and even a really amazing Robert Kirkman style Marvel Zombies Walking Dead sequence, which was so much fun. And the finale is able to do all that, and it's very impressive. Now, wrapping up, I'm going to get into some of my issues with Season 2, Part 2. Now, because there is quite a lot of material here, this is like 4 hours of TV I'm discussing in one review, I'm going to mainly talk about the things as a whole that I think were common issues, not only in Season 2, Part 2, but also in Season 2, Part 1. And I think, again, I think the show runs into the problem of there being so many storylines that some of them eventually inevitably have to get shortchanged. And I think anyone who's going into Season 2 expecting, like, for example, the Guardians of the Globe to be a bigger part of it, get that a bit with the Sequid storyline, but as soon as that finishes up, they're almost ignored for, like, the final two episodes. And I think people who love this show but maybe aren't as familiar with the comic probably expected more of J.K. Simmons as Nolan Grayson and Omni-Man in Season 2. And as someone who has read, again, a little further than where this season gets to, I knew that he was going to be very sparsely used in this season. And he was honestly even in it more so than maybe I was expecting. But I feel like because of so much of the initial hook of the show was what was the twist with him in the first episode, I think just for this show and for its viewers, I think this season did need a little bit more of him. But as someone who read the comic, I can't really say I went in and expected more of him. Although the final scene, they end and we get that moment where he says, I think I miss my wife. I knew right from the beginning of the season that's where the season was going to end. And I was very happy to see that scene adapted so directly into the show. Because that's also the ending of an issue. And I remember that full splash page. Then again, that moment really stuck in my head because of what Nolan went through on Thraxton, and then him eventually getting put in the Viltrumite prison that's just floating out in space. And especially with, like, Adam Eve, I do think she should have probably been given more to do because of the fact that she got her own special episode, and that kind of gave me the indication, and it seems to be the opposite thing that it was meant to do, was that she was going to be a much bigger part of Season 2 than I was even expecting, and it's so important that you latch on to her. I almost feel like that special should have been released after Season 2. Because I think that now that we understand how Eve is feeling about Mark, although there's obviously been tons of hints of that in Seasons 1 and 2, now is the time that we really need to get to know her before their relationship actually starts to build, which I think everyone watching the show and everyone reading the comic, even through the earlier issues, knew was eventually going to come. I feel like I wish the show structured her and Mark's moments better. But I do think ending on the two of them shoulder to shoulder as they look out into the city and both of them having so much to deal with was a great way to end the season and tease what's going to be such an essential and core aspect of the show over pretty much the remainder of its existence. And hopefully Robert Kirkman gets to take it all the way to the end, although I'm kind of curious to see what the numbers are on Season 2. And also there isn't as clear of a plot thread through Season 2, the plot through line isn't quite as significant. The through line of the season is much more, again, about Mark's emotional struggle and everything that he cares about being threatened and him struggling to balance all of it. And the back half of the season is just everyone he cares about being threatened one after another and Mark having to try and save them pretty much for four episodes straight. And it is thrilling, but it does mean that by the end of this season, as fantastic as the finale was as an individual episode, it does play a little weirdly plot-wise as a finale to the season because of the fact that Angstrom Levy is used pretty much just as a bookend villain to this season. In terms of, he appears in the first episode, disappears almost entirely for like six episodes until we get like little, like just snippets of him. And when he comes back, it almost feels really sudden, even though he was again shown at the end of the last episode. And it's not quite, because of that, as satisfying of a finale as, say, the season one finale. But I feel like in going into season two, I expected that. But I almost am curious as to whether if they waited to do the Nolan stuff on Thraxton for the finale and put the Angstrom Levy stuff in episode four, whether that would have played better. But I think that I'm really curious. And how they did, they always know they were going to structure season two in two parts, which is why they put the Thraxton stuff in episode four to make sure people came back. I'm really curious to see how this season maybe changed a little bit with them knowing how they were going to structure it. But the wait for season three, I think, should probably be about a year to a year and a half. It should not be 2.5 years or whatever we have to wait for season two. And I hope it isn't, because I love this show. And even with a couple of issues, Invincible season two is one of the most satisfying seasons of TV, comic book TV, I think we've ever had. So overall, Invincible Season 2 Part 2 wraps up an absolutely incredible season of superhero TV, where our lead character is put through the ringer and every aspect of his life is being threatened and is in danger of him just not being able to balance everything. It's emotionally powerful, it's draining, it's ultra-violent, just like this show has always been from the beginning. And at times, it does even surpass Season 1, which I never would have imagined, considering how much that first season blew me away. I'm going to give Invincible Season 2 an A-. Because of the fact that this was a full spoiler review, I feel like it's kind of weird to give a recommendation because of the fact that most of you should have already seen this if you listened to this like behemoth of a spoiler review. But as you can tell, I had an absolute blast with this season. Cannot wait until Season 3. So much setup for what's coming, and now it's time to finally get back to reading the comic. I have the second compendium, and I am ready to blast through it and hopefully be a good amount ahead by the time we get to season three. And I can't wait to come back and talk about season three once it appears. Hopefully I'm still doing the show or whatever, because it might be just as long, and who knows where I am 3 years from now. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I will catch you all next time. Hopefully I should have a couple of movie reviews out next week. Bye-bye.